Hello. Good morning. I think I call him Young Max. He needs, when he goes for retreat, he comes out so fired. Today you're so fired. Well done. Thanks so Max and the worship team for leading us this morning. Such a wonderful time to be able to come and worship. How many of us are visiting today? Just for a wave of a hand where you are. Visitors? No. We have a number. Let's give them a big hand clap, please. Thanks so much. For our visitors, my name is Fred, and it's always a joy to bring the Word of God with us. And today, I am so privileged to share with us the message. And a number of people have been talking to me about revival. You know, we want revival. We want revival. Revival can be such a controversial topic, but also it's a very good topic for us to talk about. So in the next coming weeks, I put a series together about revival. So today we look at the introduction, but next week we are going to look at the purpose of revival. Next week, we are going to look at the purpose of revival. So if you are in town, please come, invite a friend, come and we share together the purpose. And by the end of this topic, I believe all of us are going to be revived in the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today with thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for this time that you've given us. And as we look at your word, as we talk about revival, I pray that, Lord, may you guide us, may you lead us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So welcome. Our text today comes from the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, from verse 11 to 16, 2 Chronicles. we are going to look at that as we continue. But I want us to... Can I have the next one, Jerry? Yep. I want us to think about when Christians talk about revival, what does that mean to me? I want you to think about yourself. Because revival can, like I said, it can mean different things to different people. But for me today, I want us to think about revival in terms of restoration. The revival is a restoration of God's presence to his people. In the book of Exodus, chapter 33, God threatens to remove his presence from his people, understanding that there is no real life apart from God's presence. Moses pleaded with God to return to his people. What does that mean to us? When we talk about restoration, when we talk about being revived, it's more than just being redeemed. And I know some of us, we are in a place where we need to be redeemed. But in this context, we are looking at people that have been redeemed already, but they've been dying at the same time. I don't know how that can work, but it unfortunately, through generations in the Bible, look at the generations from Noah, generations from David, generations from Solomon, God has redeemed the people, even physically redeeming his people from Egypt, saving his people. But I think with time, we slide back into a normal life, into a normal lifestyle and the things we love to do. But we have an amazing God because he knows why He redeemed us. He knows why he saved us. He comes back to revive us again, to restore us again. So revival awakens the saved from the state of spiritual slumber. You know, some of us are looking at me, the spiritually redeemed cannot go back. People have gone back. The church today is not where it was before. If you look at the statistics across the world, the numbers have been looking down. You can go online. Those things are there online. You can Google the statistics. The church has been, numbers have been going down. I think in Australia, it's probably about 40-something percentage of Christians in Australia. I was looking at a number of different towns, and Kerang, we are doing a little bit much better compared to the population. I think from what I saw, Kerang was probably around 55% in the statistics. So we, not Kerang Ganawara as a whole. So we are doing better. But we still need revival in Kerang. So revival is a God's wake-up call. Revival is God's wake-up call for us. And I can give so many examples, but I think there's the one most of us know is the day of Pentecost, you know, when he asked people to gather and remind them that, yes, I was crucified, but I'm still alive. Wake up. You know, go to Jerusalem and wait for me so that I can empower you to wake up and continue with the mission that I've started in you. Next one, Jerry. So in the book of 2 Chronicles 7 to 11, I'm not going to read all of it because of time, but I want to encourage you to read that story. This is the prayer of King Solomon. King Solomon has inherited, if you remember those of us who were 2 weeks ago, I was talking about the father's legacy, and Solomon had inherited from David, King David, faith that is carried on, and the promise to build God the temple. And Solomon was able. He had the money. He had the team. He had everything to put up the temple. And he did. He put up a beautiful, spacious temple for God. But Solomon realized that you can have the most beautiful temple, the most beautiful sanctuary, like Kerang Baptist Church. You know, it's beautiful. You can have the most magnificent structure in the world, but without the presence of God, it becomes useless. Friends, you can have the best sanctuary, a 50,000-seater in Kerang that accommodates 10,000, 50,000 people, but without the presence of God, it means nothing. So Solomon had put up this magnificent building, a beautiful building, and he decided to dedicate this building to God. So he goes to prayer and asks God to bless this building. But he acknowledges that even though I put for you this kind of building, I know you don't dwell in the buildings. You dwell in the people's hearts. So this is how God responds to Solomon's prayer in 2 Chronicles 7:14. He reminds King Solomon that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. That is true, you put up this magnificent building. It's true that you put up something that is so important. You've fulfilled your father's commitment, David, to put up for me a building, even though you've done everything there, everything. And the Bible says, actually, he sacrificed how many bulls? Those of us who know the story. We're not reading that story. It's about 20,000. And sheep and goats. I mean, this was a huge... This was a huge day. But the Lord reminds Solomon that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face and pray, if... Then he said, then I'll hear from heaven, heal their land and forgive their sins. Next one, Jerry. So today, quickly, I just want us to look at the elements, the components of revival. What are some of the things that God is asking Solomon and his people to do in order to be able to experience his presence, in order to experience his power, his spirit, his love, his friendship, his partnership with them? You know, this chapter captures a significant event in the history of Israel, the dedication of the newly constructed temple of the King Solomon through prayer. Jerry, the next one. But the Lord responds to Solomon with prayer with three things. That if my people, that I've talked about that, three things. Pray, seek my face. Humble, pray, seek my face, and turn away from their wicked ways. Four things that is asking. Next one, Jerry. You know, I tell people, humility, you cannot buy from the shop. You can have everything like Solomon, but humility will not buy. You can have all the cars, you can have the beautiful homes, you can be the king of kings, you can be those celebrity in Kerrang or all of Australia. People bow down to you, but humility, you can't buy it. Pride destroys relationships. The people of Israel had so much pride in them that they killed the relationship between them and God. And the Lord is reminding them that if you humble yourselves, if you humble yourselves, then we can revive that relationship. We can restore the relationship. I can restore my presence with you guys. I can be able to join with you again. Because, you know, proud people, you don't walk with them because they always talk about themselves. What they have, they want to show you. And Facebook and all the social medias are doing them favors. You know, they're promoting what they have. Humility means that seeing my true condition before God. After all, pride is simply taking credit for things that I'm not responsible for. The Bible says that I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Humility. Next one. The scripture talks about the greatest among you will be the servant. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Humility leads us to a place of prayer. Pride tells us that someone else will know what I'm going through. You know, sometimes I think of some of our great grandparents and some of our parents that used to kneel down and sometimes we worry about so many things that how people think when I kneel down, how people think when I put up my hands to worship, how we're so worried about people that pride comes in that you can't even humble yourself before God to do what God wants us to do. Some of us, you're happy to pray for a meal at home, but in the hotel, you're looking around, you know. And sometimes I do the same because you don't want to be praying and giving thanks to God when people are watching you. I want to encourage us that humility is free. That when you go before God for yourself, for myself, is humility. The fact that you're going to somebody is humility itself. Pride tells me you don't need anybody to walk with you. You don't have to walk with me. But God said, it's okay. I don't have to walk with you. It's okay. Prayer brings us back to the place of communication. You know, when pride comes in, I don't have to talk to you. I mean, it happens to those of us who are married. You know, sometimes you get frustrated about the other party and you feel like, I don't have to talk to you today. I don't have to. Pride. Pride can stop unforgiveness. I mean, pride can hinder forgiveness. Just to go and tell somebody I'm sorry. People are struggling with that. It's because of pride. But prayer leads us to that place of knowing that without you, God, I cannot move. Prayer is a place where you go and tell people that I cannot survive without you. Prayer brings us to a place where you're telling God, if I don't talk to you, I won't feel like I'm existing. So what sort of prayer is the Lord talking about? It's the sincere prayer of a person who realizes that his true condition. You realize your true condition. And that's why every day. Next one, Jerry. And that's why every day. We should remember that the words of Jesus, that without me, you can do nothing without me. That's what Jesus talking about. And prayer leads us to the next point. Prayer leads us to seek God's face. Because I cannot talk to my wife if I can't seek the face. And sometimes in marriage it happens. Because you're so glued to the screen that you're watching the Hawks that they're going to beat. These guys from Southern Australia, so the Hawks are really trying to win, and your spouse is trying to talk to you. So your mind, your face is this side, but the person is behind. Yeah. But your mind and your head is. God is saying, when you pray, you seek me, you look after me, you want to talk to me if you seek me, and that's a relationship. You find a safe space to talk to somebody you care for. You find a safe place. You find safe people that you can share with about that relationship, about God. But we can pretend we are talking to him when you kneel down and talk to him what we need. I don't know whether you can be in a relationship where the only thing you've asked, The only time somebody talks to when they're asking for something, that can I have a car? I'm feeling sick today. Can you heal me? It's a very boring relationship. To seek God's face is to hunger for a closer walk with Him. And Jesus said that blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But God's desire is to revive that hunger of seeking and walking with Him again. And that's why Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on the throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Isaiah came to a place, he said, seeking God. He said, looking for God, and he saw God. He says he saw God sitting on the throne, the train of His robe filled the temple. An exalted view of God brings a clear view of sin and realistic view of self. Do you know why many people don't want to talk to God? Because when you go in the presence of God, it gives you the picture of yourself. It gives me a picture of myself. Because a diminished view of God brings reduced concern for sin. Isaiah's encounter with the Holy God made him aware of his own unholiness, and sin. I want to encourage us today. Maybe you are where I am. Maybe just me. Sometimes I'm, God, I need more of Your presence in my life. I need more. Because I know when I go to God's presence, when the closer I get to God, I see the picture of where I am spiritually. The more I come closer to Him, the more I seek Him, I see the picture of where I need to be. I see the unholiness. I see the challenges I see the things I'm struggling with. I see the addictions I'm struggling with. I see the things that I'm carrying. I see the weight I'm carrying that I need to surrender to Him. And the last thing I want to share with us is about repentance. Oh, yes. Repentance. You know, it's very easy to dwell on what we repented 10 years ago. It's okay. But if God's presence makes us sinners every day, if God's presence makes us unholy every day, for me, I look at repentance as a daily thing. Because when I go in the presence of God, I see how unclean I am. I see how where I am. And pride can tell us, you know what, you don't need that. You're already washed. It's okay. You don't have to do anything. I'm reminding us that if we continue to go in His presence, it's a mirror. It shows us where we are. David, in Psalm 51, says, renew the right spirit in me. Don't take away Your presence from me, God. He knew how important it is for him to stay there. I like the story of Isaiah. Isaiah says that, woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. And that's what I'm saying today. Revival requires sincere repentance from our heart. I was watching a video the other day. And this video, it was showing a couple a married couple were going for a dinner. And the guy, the lady took a bit of time to prepare herself. She went and spent quite a good time, amount of time to prepare. And the guy just showed up with a short and a t-shirt. And the lady was so angry. They started quarreling before even they go for the dinner itself. Because the lady was feeling so embarrassed to walk with this guy. Am I talking to somebody? And married couples can understand this. Sometimes as men, we let our ladies down. She's gone to Kmart. If Kmart or wherever she goes, she gets this nice dress for this special occasion that is coming up. And she buys this nice dress with the shoes matching colors. And the hair has been done. And then the day comes, the guy goes to the box out there and gets not ironed, moldy, stinking stuff, and chucks out of the box and says, okay, I'm ready. And the lady looks like, okay. And that's how God pictures us. He loves us, God. He loves us, the children. He says, I want you guys, but on my table like this is an embarrassment to me because you represent my children. You see, when you walk with the kids that are dirty and yourself, you are clean, the children represent us. People looking at your children, you're polishing your nice shoes and suit, and the kids are like, people are like my friend. There must be something wrong with you. If your children can look that and yourself, you're looking like this, there's a problem. So men, let's do better. You know, sometimes women don't talk to us like, I don't like that. Sometimes it's just an embarrassment. They don't tell us. We can do better. Next one, Jerry. The psalmist wrote, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. So what I'm saying is to repent means that we must turn away from our own ways. And I'm careful to use wicked ways because I think sometimes we use wicked ways because sometimes our ways don't look that wicked. Sometimes our ways don't look like they are sinful. But God is saying, your ways are not my ways. This is, if you want a relationship, you want a partnership, if you want me to revive you, then you have to do my purpose. And that's why next week I'll be talking to us about the purpose of revival, because God has a purpose why he is reviving us. You cannot revive something you don't need to use. Why do you revive things that you want to keep in your house? You're spending $50,000 to revive a car that you'll never use at all. It's ridiculous. Sorry, I used the word ridiculous. The next one, Jerry. He says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us at all. We are not with him. His presence, his friendship is not with us. So as I finish today, I just want to remind us that humility leads us to seeking, leads us to prayer. And prayer leads us to seek God's face. And seeking God's face leads us to turning away from our ways to God's ways. Revival is a renewed friendship with our God. And that's why he said that then when I hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, I will heal their land. Friends, he hears. Just because I haven't had an answer doesn't mean that he doesn't hear. Just because I haven't received the healing doesn't mean him, make him a liar, doesn't make that he doesn't hear. And maybe today you've walked in this place and you've been praying for something and God has not responded. Maybe you've been seeking him and you haven't found him. I want to encourage you today that he can hear, he can forgive, because his spirit lives in us. And the reason why he keeps reviving us, he knows there's something in us that he's put in us that he wants to keep alive in us. He's reviving us because of the power, the spirit that is put in us. He doesn't want that spirit to disappear. He doesn't want that spirit to die. He keeps on adding water, watering us. He keeps on dressing us. He keeps us reminding us. He keeps on standing with us because he knows there's something in us so special that he's put in us that he wants to restore, that he wants to keep alive, that he wants to make sure that that thing is protected. As the worship comes back, I want us to self-examine yourself. Let me have Max come back and the team. I want you to examine yourself. Maybe you've been in a place and you feel you don't need revival. I'm telling Christ that I need revival because whatever is in me is in danger of disappearing. Whatever is in me, the devil wants to steal and kill. Whatever is in me, the devil wants to rob it and destroy it. Whatever is in me, the world wants to step on it and destroy it. But God, he's not giving up on you and I. God is there for you to keep reviving, to keep restoring, to keep keeping that is in us safe. Lord, we thank you today. Because I know many times pride tells us that we don't need revival. Pride tells us that we don't need to pray. Pride tells us we don't need to seek you. But as we humble ourselves before you today, Father, I pray that may you help us, Father, to continue to humble ourselves, to continue to seek you, to continue to pray, to continue to repent, or to live our ways. And I pray for those of us that have been struggling, those that have been having challenges, I pray, God, may you help us to continue to stand with them together as a family. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand together as we worship this morning. Let's stand together.